Hey, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Mom Confessions, where we talk about hiding from our kids, shower secrets, and baby bump weirdness. And we close with our BFBs and BFNs for the week. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 133. Hello, Shauna.
Hello.
So, I want to hear your check-in for this week. How old is that toddler of yours and what's going on?
Well, she is two, and maybe that is why I feel ravaged, overwhelmed, drained. I mean, could I go on thesaurus.com and find any other words to describe how I feel this week?
Is this because she has hit the terrific tremendous twos?
You busted out your thesaurus too.
Yeah, it took me a second though.
I don't know. I have to say that one thing that's really going on with me this week is that I'm blaming myself for a lot of this. I sometimes feel like I pushed her beyond what she was ready for in some ways. Like, I thought she was ready to get out of that crib, right? And then put her in a toddler bed. Mm-hmm. And no gate on her door and potty training when she showed like the first interest. So all of these things combined, when there's problems with them, they all kind of just crash down at once. And she gets out of her bed too much and just breaks down crying and skips naps. And you know, as we're having trouble potty training on and off and on and off. And sometimes I'm like, why didn't I just make this easier for myself and keep her in a crib, keep her in diapers, and just, you know, she's, especially earlier this year, she was a baby, right? She wasn't a big kid.
Yeah.
So I'm just having a lot of regrets about the decisions I've made and feeling like I can't go back, but should I go back? I'm just overwhelmed, Laura.
What is the biggest issue right now, you think? Like, as far as like the crib, the potty training, or the, I guess the crib and the door are kind of related, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the more pressing issue?
I think potty training is becoming frustrating.
Yeah.
We still continue to go every other day, kind of. Like, she does well one day, and one day she just defiant, just will not sit on the potty for breaks. She has accidents, and I'm cleaning them up. I've talked about this before. Like, my dog Chili is having some accidents. Yeah. And then Cece has some accidents. And I feel like I have this like Clorox cleaning bottle in my hand 24/7, just running around after these little creatures, wiping things up. Not really, of course. And I've tried your tricks, your tips and tricks, you know, ask them to play a game and listen for the pee and all of these things. And they do work. And then Cece, you know how she is. She's just like, after a couple times, she's just like, fuck that. I'm going to do what I want. And
she's so independent.
She's really independent. And this week, I was on the verge. I was like, you know what? Let's just go back into pull-ups. Let's just do it because this is too stressful for me. And after her nap, one day she wears them for naps, right? She just, I forgot about it. And it was just on for a couple hours. And I was like, oh my God, this sense of relief I feel right now is something I haven't felt in a while. And I realized it's because I didn't have to worry about what, if there was going to be an accident or not.
Yeah. So have you continued doing that, or are you just sort of still contemplating?
I was about to pull the trigger. Like, I know Steve didn't really want to go back on diapers, and I didn't either. And I was just about to pull the trigger on it because I was so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, at one moment, I said, it's time for potty. And she's like, no. And I said, I will give you two jelly beans if you sit on that potty.
Nice.
Like, have resorted to bribes, which is fine. I know a lot of people do that, but I'm a rule follower, right, Laura? And it's like, I don't think Oh Crap says that. I don't think Jana Lansbury says you should be doing that. So I've been trying to avoid it. And yeah. I just cracked. I was like, jelly beans. They're all, and they're like jelly bellies, right? Those little teeny ones. We just had them in the house. And she ran to that potty so fucking fast and sat down and peed and was like, jelly bean, jelly bean, jelly bean. And I'm like, here you go. Two jelly beans. And we've been doing that for the last couple of days and things are turning around.
You know, yeah. Okay. So Oh Crap says you don't want to use bribes. And I'm sure Janet Lansbury says that too. But you know what? One thing that we have talked about so many times and that I know you're very much behind is you got to do what works for your family, right?
Yeah.
And not all kids are the same. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to think about motivations and what's going to get her over that hump of being interested and like permanently interested in the potty, right?
Right.
I mean, she's not going to need jelly beans when she's in high school to remember to go potty, right?
Yeah, let's hope not.
So it sounds like you figured out a solution. So that's good.
Yeah, for now. I mean, fingers crossed, I'm feeling good about it, because sometimes she'll forget about the jelly beans and just go run over on her own and use the potty.
That's the whole point, right? So,
exactly. Kind of just training her to have some kind of good association with the potty is what I'm going for. And I think we've had fewer accidents since this whole thing has started. So I'm finally feeling a little bit better. You know, the napping and the sleeping and all of that is still... And blah. She just completely dropped a nap the other day and she's like coming out of her room. And so I'm not going to go back on that either, though, I don't think, unless things get really bad.
Yeah. Do you think? Oh, I think part of it is that her personality, I don't think she'd just roll with it if you started putting her back in a crib.
Oh, God. I can't even imagine. Like, I picture myself putting one of those baby gates on her door.
Yeah.
And I just imagine her opening the big door and seeing that and just like a jailed maniac, just like, just like shaking them and screaming. And I don't think that would go well.
Yeah. So I think it's more about finding ways to make it as smooth as possible with what you have, because she's not going to let you go backwards.
Yeah. No, she's not. So I know at times I wish I could go backwards. I wish I could have done things differently. And like in one of my mom's groups, like people are always saying, keep them in the crib as long as possible. Keep them until they're three, they're four. It's going to make your life easier. And I'm like, well, maybe I should have done that, but nothing I can do about it now, really.
Ship has sailed.
It has sailed. But other than that, there's not too much going on this week. That's the big news. So I think we can move on to you.
Okay.
How are you doing? And how old is every little one in your life?
So my toddler is 23 months and 2 weeks. We are so close to being two.
Wow.
And, oh, man. Talking about this approach towards two, this week he has had big emotions, like huge emotions this week. And it's been a little difficult to figure out exactly why. He has a second one of his 2 year molars coming in. I know that affects it a little bit, but because there's certain times where he would be like, oh God, what did he like tripped over, you know, he's like running away from me because I'm like trying to get him dressed to go on a walk or something. And he's running away from me. And then he has like a teeny tiny trip, not a bad trip, you know, and then it's just like, like the world has ended, right? And I'm just like everything's like hair trigger, right?
Yeah.
And I never know if it's like the pain of the molar, if he's just being a toddler, but it's been definitely an exhausting week in that way. It's been one of those things where I'm really working hard to just try to let him have his emotions and stuff. It's so hard to sit there and watch them be so sad. And then, you know, sometimes it's for stuff that I can't give him. Like, what did he? Oh, this is a good one. So I made cookies with him. I talked about it last week, and we still had some left over this week because that was like at the end of the week. And I guess Corey went to like give him one of the cookies, and it was shaped like a mitten. And he's like, hey, baby, do you want the cookie? And he's like, cookie. So Corey goes to, he breaks the mitten in half and handed it over to him. And he started bawling, like just bawling. And he was like, whole mitten. And poor Corey said he was like about to call me in. I was in the office working, like be like, I need help. But he was just like, mitten. And so Corey said he was trying to like explain to him that it was like Humpty Dumpty, you know, like when Humpty Dumpty falls, couldn't put him back together again. And it was this whole thing. So we're at dinner talking about our days, and Corey was saying like, yeah, baby, you had a little bit of a hard time with the mitten. And all of a sudden he starts singing the Humpty Dumpty song. And Corey just starts cracking up because he's like, yep, he took something away from that.
Oh, that's so cute. And I especially laugh because Cece is the same way. If I like don't give her a whole graham cracker, she will lose her mind. Like a you know, they're perforated. They're meant to be cut. And I like cut it and give it to her. And I'm like, it's the same thing. It's just in more pieces. No. She'll just lose her mind. Yeah. So funny. I'll have to try the Humpty Dumpty analogy.
Humpty Dumpty. Yeah, to see if that works at your house. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of what's going on with the toddler emotions this week. And then mm-hmm. I am 32 weeks pregnant now.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. And so this week I actually had two doctor's appointments in the same day, which mm-hmm. maybe wasn't necessary, but I had my normal OB appointment where they like take your blood pressure and, you know, your pee and make sure there's no protein in it or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And a really quick ultrasound my doctor does. But earlier in the day, I had actually gone to what my maternal fetal medicine specialist, who I had gone to for my like NT scan in the first trimester and then my like 20 week scan in the second trimester, they offer what they call a routine, and that's in air quotes, a routine third trimester screening, because I don't think it's routine. Mm-hmm. I don't think everyone gets it. I didn't get one in the last pregnancy, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my insurance is covering it, and I got to get, like, cute 3D photos of the baby.
Oh,
and
good.
It's nice to have the reassurance that you know, everything's measuring on track and all that stuff. So, luckily, everything is measuring on track. I got sort of cute crispy lasagnas. Like, the umbilical cord was right in front of his face, so we couldn't really get like a very clear shot, so we got kind of like partial shots. Mm-hmm. But he's looking very much like a twin to my first child, so
that's
really fun. And then they said that right now the baby is estimated at 4 pounds 6 ounces, which is right on track. They said it was like 41st percentile or something. And I take that with a grain of salt, because apparently they're fairly inaccurate, these like ultrasound measurement weights. But, you know, it's nice to know that he's not going to be some like huge, gigantic baby, especially if since I'm still considering a VBAC. So.
Oh, true. Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. And it's just better for your back. I mean, I can't even imagine just a little, you know, my first baby was 6.5 pounds when he was born. And that's like, he's just a little football you can tuck in your arm, you know?
Yeah,
they're
totally.
So little. So I kind of like a little baby.
Yeah.
And
sweet.
The other cool thing about that appointment is I got confirmation about what the heck is going on with the movement, because I have discovered, especially in the morning, if I'm lying on my left side in bed, I would get like kicks, and I was assuming they were feet that would like, I swear they were going over my rib cage. Like they were,
That's a weird feeling.
It's super weird, but it was like, they're very pronounced and they're all like over the right side of my rib cage, and it would freak me out, and it would definitely not allow me to sleep.
Yeah.
So I asked, I was like, can you tell me where this baby's located? So like, and I said, you know, I'm feeling a lot of movement right here on this like right side, right under my rib. And the at first the MFM was like, oh, that's probably a butt. And then he's like looking around. He's like, nope, I'm wrong. Those are legs. And I was like, or he's like, nope, I'm wrong. Those are feet. And I was like, oh, OK, that's what I thought. So the head is down. He's like arched around. So his butt is on my left side and his feet are kicking out to my right side. So,
oh, yeah,
that's what's going on.
All right.
Oh, boy. But yeah, it's getting real, like 32 weeks.
Oof. Yes, you're going to have to start packing that hospital bag soon.
I do. I actually have to go back and watch your highlighted Instagram stories on our Instagram account, because you put together a fantastic, like, here's what you should put in your hospital bag Instagram highlight reel.
Yeah.
And I like do not even remember. So I need to go back and look what you said.
Okay. I barely remember either. Maybe I'll go back and check too.
Anyway, that's my check-in for this week. Shall we take a quick break and then come back with our special segment?
Yes, indeed. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We are back, and we have this week's special segment, Mom Confessions.
Mom Confessions.
gosh. It's one of our favorites. We love this. We turn it into a game where we each say one truth and one lie, and the other has to decide which one is the true mom confession.
Mm-hmm.
Laura, yes, you are up first. All right, hit me with it.
Okay, here's my mom confession. Do I hide in my room so I can eat snacks without my toddler sharing them with me? Or do I hide in my room when I hear my toddler calling my name?
Oh, both are so relatable. Oh my goodness. I know that I cannot eat a delicious snack in front of my kids no matter what. So I'm going to guess you're the same. So that's what I'm going to say.
That is very plausible, but it hasn't yet happened.
Oh!
what I actually do is I just have to wait until, like, he's napping. Like, if I want to eat a snack or a lunch that I don't want to share with him, I just have to be like, okay, I have to eat this when you're napping.
You know, what I do is I hide in the kitchen and eat it real quick, but you have that open floor plan, so that
is freaking open floor plan. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to, like, turn my back and sneak a snack, and he'll be like, knack, knack, knack.
Same.
No, but actually what I do is I regularly hide in my room when I hear him calling, mama coming, mama coming. This is usually first thing in the morning, so Corey takes the first shift. I've mentioned that a lot, and I very much appreciate it because I'm a person who needs sleep, especially now being super pregnant.
Yeah.
So Corey will get up with him and spend like an hour with him in the morning, make him breakfast and stuff, and I'll usually, you know, I can hear him unless I can remember to turn on my own white noise machine, which I totally stole the little portable white noise machine that I used to put in his car seat when he was infant. I totally stole that so I could have it on my bedside table. but usually I forget to turn it on. And so I can hear him. I can hear. And it's kind of sweet to listen to Corey and him have their like morning together. But a lot of times Corey will walk into the room first thing when he wakes up and he'll start saying, mama, mama. And then his thing now is he's like, mama coming, mama coming. And it kind of breaks my heart. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm really comfortable. Okay. Like you gotta.
Yeah.
I also think it's probably good to teach him not to like that mama doesn't come every single time. You just start, you know, asking basically. Like it can sound so mean to say that. I'm very attentive to him, I should say.
Of course. No, it's just setting a boundary, which is what we need to do as
Thank
parents.
You. Yes, yes.
Save our own sanity sometimes.
Well, also for Corey, I just don't think it would be good for Corey if every time I heard him be upset like that, I rush in. You know, it doesn't allow them to develop their relationship in a positive way. So, but yeah, I mean, because a lot of times I'll wake up, Corey will wake up, he'll go get him, and then I'll not really be able to go back to sleep. So I'll just be like doing my morning scroll on my phone or whatever. And then I just hear from the other room, mama coming, mama coming. And I hear Corey being like, mama's coming later, mama's sleeping.
Mama's sleeping, wink, wink.
And I'm just like, yeah, yeah. don't like anything on his Facebook wall. So you can be like, hey, you're hiding in there.
Yeah, exactly. Too funny.
Yeah. So that is my first mom confession. Shauna, what do you have for us?
All right, Laura, here's what I got. I accidentally brushed Cece's teeth with sunscreen. I let Elle use Steve's back scrubber brush to scrub the shower walls.
Again, both very relatable. I'm always afraid of putting the wrong thing on the toothbrush because we keep all our tubes of everything on the bathroom counter, you know? So like, I'm always afraid I'm going to put triple antibiotic ointment or something on it. You know, I'm going to go with the sunscreen just because it sounds worse.
It totally sounds worse. No, that's not true.
Okay.
But I almost did, I swear to God, because the same reason. It's like I have to keep all the toothpastes up high, like on a shelf in the bathroom, because otherwise Cece just squeezes them into her mouth like it's a can of whipped cream. And so they're all up there and the sunscreen was up there one day and I like just uncap it and I was like, oh my God, what if I'd actually done that? And like she got it in her mouth. I could only imagine her reaction, just like, ah.
Oh, gross. Yeah.
So bad.
Well, I'm glad you didn't do that.
Thank you. Yes, I am too. And now I'm really on the alert for it in the future. You know, it's also because like sometimes I'm just not all there mentally, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, I'm tired thinking of other things. I could have seen myself just doing that really quickly.
I have accidentally used the kid toothpaste so many times.
Oh, for yourself?
Yeah. And that is not tasty. Like,
it is not.
Because I think ours is Tom's, like, strawberry flavored. And I remember the first time I did it, was just like, what? Oh, what did I do?
What have I done? It's so gross. I know. We have like a bubble gum one, which is so cute. Cece calls it boo-boo gum. Boo-boo gum toothpaste. Yeah, sometimes the kids just want me to try it, right? Like they hold it out like a scoop, like a glob of it out on their fingers. It's like, taste this. And I'm like, no, thank you. I'll stick with my minty. What I have done, and I feel guilty because Steve doesn't even know this. Like I haven't told him this. Many times, because his back scrubbing brush is just in the shower, and during bath time, I'll notice I'll just grab it, put soap on, and just start cleaning the walls of the bath bathtub. And you know, I'm like, okay, stop, don't do that. That's like really gross. But I'm just exhausted. Usually at the end of my rope, the end of the day, like, oh fucking whatever, man. And it's cleaning the tiles, so. Okay, and then I just put it back. I put it back. I'm the worst.
Sorry, Steve. Steve's listening to this right now, editing, and he's just like, what is happening?
What is happening? My wife has been lying to me, lying.
He's like, does that explain my back knee? Sorry, Steve. I don't know if you have back knee.
I don't know either. So, yeah, that's my mom confession. All right, what's your next one?
Do I avoid touching my own baby bump because it weirds me out? Or do I not like it when Corey feels my bump for baby movements?
Ooh. Yeah, I feel like both of those are very plausible. But here's why I'm going to go for this one. Recently, you were talking about like your bump being kind of stretched tight because the baby's growing so fast. I could see you not really being into that and not wanting to touch it yourself. So that's what I'm going to go with.
That is correct. I actually do really like it when Corey feels for the baby movement because he's not like overbearing about it. It's usually when I invite him to feel for the baby movement, and I think it's kind of sweet because he, you know, he likes feeling it, and he's also like sort of also sort of weirded out by the movement, like whoa, like you know, there will be a big movement, like oh my god, and I'm like imagine how that feels for me
from the inside.
So I don't have a problem touching my bump when it's like in clothes, which is weird, like you know, I sort of naturally just rest my hand on it and stuff, but I've discovered, like, after a shower or, like, you know, when it's exposed, I get kind of the heebie-jeebies because it, like you said, it sometimes feels just super taut and big. Like, I don't think it's a body dysmorphia thing or anything. I think it's not like I feel disgusted by it or anything. It's just that, like, it feels delicate. Like, I'm a kind of, like, almost, like, afraid to touch it because I'm going to, like, poke a hole in it or something.
Like puncture the skin. Oh, well, God.
Also, like, the area around my belly button has gotten, like, strangely soft, and I'm worried. I'm actually going to talk to my doctor about this soon because I'm worried it might be an umbilical hernia. And, like, so I just, like, don't want to touch it and hurt anything. And, yeah, so it kind of creeps me out.
Yeah, I get that. And what about, like, putting lotion on and everything? You just, like, try to do it as fast as possible?
Pretty much. I mean, that's pretty much the level of interaction I have with my naked baby bump, you know? Like, I get the lotion on it, and then I move on.
Yeah, so. I get that.
And I like, forget it's there. I can't, I've knocked so many things over with it. Like, I'll reach for something on the kitchen counter, and it'll just, like, knock over a bottle of olive oil, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's there. Aw. So, yeah. Does that make me a bad mom? It's definitely a confession.
All right. I get that. I understand.
Sorry, baby. If you're listening to this in the future, it's not you. It's me.
No, exactly.
Okay, so do you have one more for us?
I do. All right. Laura, did I find googly eyes in my toddler's poop? Or do I carry a Pez dispenser in my bra all day?
Oh, wow. Look, I just got to go with the googly eyes because it's funnier. Like, I don't know, but that would be a great surprise during potty training. So, yeah.
It would. Oh, my God. I kind of wish. I don't wish, but I kind of wish. We have googly eyes everywhere. And Cece doesn't put stuff in her mouth very much anymore. But goddamn, if googly eyes aren't like the most attractive thing for her to munch on, I'm like, stop. Don't eat the googly eye. And I could just see it happening. Just, and of course, it would just go right through. You know, she's not going to digest a googly eye. But no, alas, That has not happened.
Okay, so tell me about this Pez dispenser.
Yeah.
Is it for you?
Oh, good question.
Because that's like hiding in the kitchen. You know, you hide the Pez in your bra.
And when they're not looking, just like stick my face down and like take a Pez out real quick.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a big fan of Pez myself, but guess who is?
Cece.
Yes. So I talked earlier about how I have just pretty much given up on trying all these amazing techniques to potty train Cece. And so I've taken to bribing her, and it started with jelly beans. Well, Pez dispenser made it into the kids' stocking for Christmas. And oh my God, she's so excited about this. And it's the perfect tiny little treat. And it's exciting because it comes out of a dispenser. You know, you pull the little Santa head back. Mm-hmm. And the candy sticks out, for those who don't remember or know how a Pez dispenser works. And she loves it. She's so excited. And so I'm like, all right, do you want a Pez? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, all right, let's go potty. And I'm like, Pez for peas. And she sits down and she goes pee and gets Pez. And I was losing this Pez dispenser. I'm like, where did I put the Pez dispenser? I need it. Like, the potty is dependent on this. And mm-hmm. So I was like, oh. Remember the days of like going out on the town and sticking your ID and cash in your bra? It's like, yeah. Pez dispenser in my bra. And now I never lose it. And I always have it on hand for when we need to do that.
Smart. Yeah, because there are no freaking pockets in women's clothing. So.
Oh, God, no. No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Nope. I just have taken to wearing a fanny pack basically all the time.
Oh, that's right. You got to send me the link to that because I think I need to wear something like that around the house.
It's not stylish. There are a lot of stylish fanny packs, but I have a very practical one. I'll send you the link. We can put it in the show notes, too, if I can dig it
up. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, please do. All right. So that's it for me. I think that's our segment. Should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners, this episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. And we are back. So we close every episode with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
Despite my overwhelming week, I do have a BFP.
Yay.
Yay. You know, everything isn't always tough. There are shining moments. And this week I wanted to share just a fun little bonding experience I had with the girls that really warmed my heart.
Nah, okay.
Yeah. So I think I've talked about before, one of my new hobbies is just kind of planting mostly succulents in the backyard and making arrangements. And one thing that's gone along with that is painting pots so that they look cuter than just like a terracotta pot and colorful, etc. Well, this week I got the girls on board to paint with me and it was just really fun. Actually, I didn't have to get them on board because Elle just really wanted to do it. She saw me painting a little pot and she's like, can I paint a pot? Can I paint with you? Can I paint with you? And there was a big one, like a big terracotta pot that I haven't put anything in yet. She's like, can I paint this big one? Can I paint this big one? And I thought that was so sweet. Although I have to admit, part of me is like, ooh, but you know, I wanted to paint it perfectly.
Yeah. It's like me and the cookies from last week. It's like, but I wanted to make them cute.
I know. Oh, that's such a hard thing to let go of. But for some reason, I was just like, yes, you can paint this one. And she's so cute. She's like, I want to paint it turquoise because I know you love turquoise. And she's so thoughtful like that sometimes. It really surprises me. Although it wasn't really turquoise, like she kind of picked a shimmery gray, but she kept calling it turquoise, which I thought was cute. So it must have looked like kind of bluish to her. And she just painted this mostly the entire thing. And it was cute. And Cece got involved. I gave her some watercolors and like a big pad of paper. And we were just all in the backyard doing our little painting. And I was doing a pretty good job letting go of my, you know, anxiety about art projects and my perfectionism and stuff to just enjoy the time with the girls.
That sounds really nice. And honestly, I feel like, you know me, I am a crafter. I love having like a perfect project. But in 10 years, are you going to care more about like the adorable, you know, Pinterest inspired terracotta pot you made or the fact that Elle, you know, helped you when she was 4 do it, you know?
Yeah, that's so true.
I think you're going to be much more emotionally attached to her painting the pot.
Yeah.
So, very, very sweet.
Very sweet. And it just made me very happy. So that is my BFP. What do you got for us?
I also have a BFP.
Yay.
So this is related to my check-in. I actually initially was going to talk about it in my check-in. And then I was like, you know what? No, I'm saving this for my BFP because it really helped me this week. And this is a specific episode of Janet Lansbury's podcast, Unruffled. Mm-hmm. And the episode title is, Should We Give a Screaming Toddler What He Wants? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to listen to this. I actually was very specifically looking through her catalog, trying to find something that would apply to my situation because I was just having trouble figuring out, like, you know, sometimes Corey and I will just be like, you know, my toddler will be writhing on the floor saying like, oh, here's one of his favorites. It's like more videos, more videos, more video. He loves watching videos on, you know, of himself on my phone. And, you know, sometimes we'll just get so sick of trying to like hold the boundary or whatever. And we'll just like, fine, you know, like, cause you know, it'll turn it off. Right. Like, the minute you start showing him cute videos of himself, which I also enjoy watching, he'll just be sitting happily staring at it. And she's just like, okay, fine. You know, like, here, have your videos. So, but then you're like, oh, is this bad modeling? Is this bad? You know, am I not holding my boundaries? Blah, blah, blah. So I needed help from our saint, Janet Lansbury. And this episode, Should I Give a Screaming Toddler What He Wants, really, really helped. And I obviously recommend you go listen to the whole podcast because my summary is not going to do it full justice. But it kind of boiled down to how there are like three types of situations when toddlers are like having a meltdown and how to handle it. The first is like, and when it's specifically about how they want something and you're not giving it to them. Because there's a lot of times there's meltdowns about, I don't know, who knows, anything under the sun. Like, like one time I remember one of his earliest, I think I've talked about this, his earliest tantrums was like he really wanted to grab a train or a truck out of a book. And like I was like, you can't grab a train out of a book. And he like lost his shit. Like, it was, there's nothing I can do about that. I can't like conjure magic and make it happen. But when they want something that you could in theory give them, there are three situations. The first is that it's something that they need that you're already going to give them, like food or drink, right? So they're like, you know, they're like milk, 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 or water, water, snack, snack, right? And they're whining for it, but you're, you know, they need it. You're going to give it to them anyway. And like, how do you go about that, right? And in that one, Janet Lansbury says, you know, obviously you give them the food. What basically what you're seeing is a child who's dysregulated and they are past a point of being able to ask for things in a calm way. So you're not going to be, you know, it's punishing them to not give them food. They need the food. But you don't have to like rise to their energy level, right? You can say like, yeah, I can see you're really, really hungry. I'm walking to the kitchen now and I'm going to get it for you. But, you know, first I have to wash my hands or whatever. You know, you do it at your pace. But then you give it to them. And it's not, you're not, you know, reinforcing a tantrum because you give them the snack because they need the snack for one way or another, right?
Okay. Right.
That makes total sense to me.
That does. I totally can see that. Most of Cece's breakdowns, besides night terrors, are over food, you know? And sometimes she doesn't know what she's asking for. It's just like, oh, I know I need to give her something, but she's freaking out. And I will try to get her to ask for it in a polite way. You know, it'll be like, say, almond milk, please. And then sometimes that'll kind of snap her out of it. And, you know, she's like, almond milk, please. And that kind of helps me bring the energy down as well. Yeah. I don't know if Janet Lansbury would approve, but.
Well, you know, in this episode, she actually discourages that because, but she says this is for like a truly dysregulated child. Like if Cece can stop and ask for it nicely, it means that she's like, not really that far gone in her emotions, right?
Okay.
But if they're truly, like, really having a true meltdown, they might be beyond the ability to do that. And asking them to sort of conform to your rules in order to get something that they need, I think this is me paraphrasing, is not helpful for them, apparently. But again, if she has the ability to do that, that means she's not as dysregulated as you think. She, you know what I mean? As she's trying to come off, you know, she's just, she might be in a more like manipulative moment rather than an actually dysregulated moment, right?
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So on to the next two scenarios. And these are really similar. They have similar outcomes. So the other one is like they're asking for a snack. And you give it to them, and then they say they want a different snack, right? So you're like, they're like, this, an example in my house would be, you'd be like, graham khaki, graham khaki. I'll be like, okay, here's your graham cracker. And he goes, pouch, pouch, pouch. You know, you're like, in that scenario, apparently you should realize it's not about the snack. It's about them wanting to express some emotions and they don't know how to get them out. Or they're, this is what they need to get out. They need to get out some frustration. And this is how they're doing it. Okay. And then real quick, I'm going to talk about the third one because you treat them the same. The third is like you're setting a boundary and they're just flipping out about you holding the boundary, like me with the videos, right? Like, you know, they want the videos. I said, we have two more videos and then we're off. And then he starts freaking out about it. So in both the cases where they're like changing their minds about the snack or they're just like, you want to hold the boundary, you don't give them what they want, but you recognize that you're there as a safe space for them to express the frustration and emotions that they need to express, which was kind of interesting for me. So like the idea is that you're actually being more kind to them by not giving them what they're asking for because you're allowing them to express their feelings without judgment. But then they also don't learn that there's this like, sometimes I act like this and I get a thing and sometimes I act like this and I don't. Like that's very confusing to kids, right? So, like, I love this idea of, like, reframing it as, like, I am being kind to him by not showing him more videos. Because if I show him the videos this time, then the next time he's going to throw this fit. Right. And he's going to be around his dad or whatever. And his dad will actually hold the boundary. And then he won't understand, like, he won't have any predictability in his world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does sound confusing, which is not a good thing for a tiny little person.
No, they need to understand, you know, what happens in the world. And you know, this kindness of being the person, like, it should be flattering to you that mm-hmm. you are the person they can express these negative emotions, or I mean negative, they get these big emotions mm-hmm. to, right? Like, they trust you so much that they can have this kind of meltdown in front of you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like that. And it was a really helpful episode, and highly recommend listening to the whole thing to make sure I didn't botch it. But, you know, I feel like this is also another thing in parenting where you get a lot of, like, comments from the grandparents or well-meaning strangers about what you should do, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. Either, oh, just give them the candy, or mm-hmm. you should never, like, I can't believe you gave in, you know? Like, you should be more strict or whatever.
Right. Because what you quote unquote should do is counterintuitive to what I think a lot of common parenting choices look like.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for example, staying calm and quiet doesn't maybe feel right to some people because it's like, why aren't you addressing the problem with your child? Whereas you are addressing the problem with your child by allowing them to cry and just being patient and being there and present with that.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people, their instinct would be to, like, try to get the tantrum to stop or try mm-hmm. to get the meltdown to stop mm-hmm. as opposed to just letting it happen, but still not giving them the thing they think they want or the thing they're asking for.
Yes. And in some regards, I understand where that's coming from, because the feelings that arise in me when I see my toddler freaking out are also big emotions. Like, oh my gosh, what can I do? What can I do to calm him down? You know, it's almost frantic mm-hmm. or to be like, it's okay. Everything's okay. You know, and it takes effort to do the opposite and
for sure,
a lot of awareness. Yeah. And I just want to recognize that can be tricky. And it's not like me or you is just having a breeze with it just because we're talking about it.
Oh, God, no. No, I'm sitting there like I'm trying my best to project calm, you know, but mm-hmm. I'm just like, you know, because your instinct is just like you want to protect and make your child happy,
yeah.
like whatever it takes. And it's so hard to not just give in or if they're having the tantrum, like, scoop them up. Everything's okay. You're okay.
Yes.
Don't be sad. You know, mm-hmm. they're just it's very, very hard. So
it's
that's
very
why
hard.
I like having, you know, people like you and Janet Lansbury to help me through these things, because mm-hmm. it sucks.
It can be tricky. But good for you for trying, and that podcast sounds like an awesome resource, so I'm gonna go listen to that,
and we'll try to link it in our show notes if I can find the link. Yes,
yeah, definitely.
Cool. Well, I think that might be our show.
Yes. All right, well, listeners, if you have any mom confessions, you know we want to hear them, so please reach out. Laura, where can everyone find us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can include a voice memo in that email to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. Finally, join our Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so answer the two questions required to join, and then we'll get you straight through to the amazing discussions we're having in there and all the cute baby pictures.
If you love our show, please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And spread the word. Let your friends know about Big Fat Positive. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thank you for listening, everyone. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.